Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everybody here today. And if you're one of our welcome guests today, then I hope that something touches your heart, something that you hear today will either draw you closer to God or get you questioning more about God or somehow make your day, make this a good spiritual day for you. You know, before I really get started with all this, I just have to say, I do a pretty good job of asking directions and asking for people's help. Just want everybody to know that, okay? For you that were here last week. So, no, I really do. I do my best, and I try to do this thing, and sometimes it doesn't always work, and whenever it does, I'm usually pretty good at masking it and making it look like I did everything right so that nobody knows. And then a certain son of mine gets up here, and he outs me and tells everybody what's going on. So I think it's only fair that I say something about Ben. All right. I guess I shouldn't say stuff whenever he's running the soundboard. So I'm going to let that pass and wait until next time whenever he's not around. But anyways, moving on. So, you know, I'm not perfect. And this is something that I know from about my life. And one of the things that I do know, too, is that I have a lot of questions about where I'm going and where I should be. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wondered, is this God's will or is it my will? What does God have in plan for me? Sometimes it's just as hard, as easy as taking a path. I had a teacher one time back in Oklahoma Christian that he said he had two girls he was in love with, and he was walking down the road. And he said literally one of them lived on the right side and one lived on the left side. And it wasn't until he came to the crossroads that he decided which one he was going to marry. He decided he was going to ask one of them's hand in marriage, and so he went to one side or the other, I don't know which, and he asked her hand in marriage, and they'd been married about 50 years, last I heard. So I guess he got either the right answer, or it was in God's hand all along. There was a story, a poem written by Robert Frost called The Road Not Taken. I've spoken about this before, and The Road Not Taken speaks of a man that's going down a road, and he comes to a path. And there's a road going this way and a path, two paths, one going this way and one going that way. And he looks down both of them and he's trying to decide which one to go down. And he decides that they both look pretty much the same. This one's a little different than that one, but they're about the same, so he chooses one. And he's thinking in his head, maybe I'll go down the other one someday and just see what's down that road. But even as he thinks that, he realizes that this road is going to lead to other paths, it's going to lead to other paths and other paths, and he's never going to get back to this point. And at the end, he reflects, did I go down the right path? And I guess really what the point is, isn't did I go down the right path? The point is that once we've gone down a path, that's where we are. So I want to go down that path. I want to go down the path that God has chosen, the path that God leads me down. And sometimes trying to figure that all out in my head becomes really confusing. But some decisions now are easy, right? You know, get up in the morning, which shirt do I put on, whether or not I comb my hair, you know, what I eat for breakfast. You got your just general things that you do, right, in the morning. And those are easy things, but I'm not talking about that. Those are life questions that aren't really going to carry a whole lot of meaning for us. But some decisions are difficult, and they cause me to stop and to question, how can I know? How can I be sure that this is God's will for me? I mean, does God really have a plan for my life? Does he have a plan? Does God even care? You know, some people, they say God's out there someplace and he's put this whole world into motion and there is a God, but he's not, we're specks of sand. He doesn't care about me. He's put everything in motion and he lets it run that way. Does God have a plan for me? Does he care? And if he has a plan for me, how can I know what that plan is? How do I know where to go? How do I know where to walk? How do I know where my journey is? And can I hear him? Jeremiah 29:11 though says this, and you've probably read this, heard this before. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God does have a plan for you. It says here to prosper, and he doesn't mean prosper by, oh, we're all going to be rich. I can tell if you're following God because you're rich, and I can tell you're not because you're poor. It's not like that. He wants us to prosper, not in the monetary things, or maybe he does. Maybe that's part of your plan, but that's not the point. The point is that it's not the wealth. It's that he gives us everything we need to make a difference in this life while I'm here on earth, to give us hope, to give us a future. Today, I'm not going to give you the answers to this. I'll tell you right up front. Whenever you leave here, you're not going to go, I know what to do. You know, I know whether or not to take that job. I know whether or not to talk to that person. You're not going to get any of those answers today. So don't, if you're already expecting that, then you're going down the wrong path and you're not listening. But I want to share with you today how maybe you can become, we can become a people that are listening to God and living in His will every day. And so I have three principles that I've actually gotten from, I must admit that I've kind of stolen these from a previous sermon that I heard by a minister named Mike Bro. And I was so impressed by it that I wanted to pass it on to you. So the three main points all come from him. I just want to give him credit for that. Number one, God's will is more about who we are than it is about what we do or where we are. God is much more interested in you becoming than who you're becoming, than about the life choices you've made in your life. I want you to listen to that again. God is much more interested in who you are becoming, what you are becoming, than the life choices you make in your life. He's not as concerned about your marriage or your job or if you got a car or don't have a car or if you're rich or you're poor. What he's concerned about is, are you becoming the person he wants you to become? Are you? God's will is more about who we are than it's about what we do or where we are. When I became a Christian, I knew the Holy Spirit was going to guide me. I knew it. I'd been part of the church my whole life, and I got into baptistry, and I was baptized, and I came up, and I went, woo! I have the Holy Spirit now with me. He's going to guide me. He's going to direct me. I'm going to quit sinning. Life's going to change. I knew it. But as I went, I discovered that living a God-centered life isn't easy. It's not like coming up out of the baptistry, and suddenly I've had some kind of pixie dust sprinkled on me or something like that, and suddenly everything's good. It didn't work out like that. I read the books. I studied the Bible. I prayed to God, and I kept having problems. I kept sinning. I kept struggling. And then the Beatitudes, they told me how I should be. In Galatians 5, the gifts of the Spirit told me how I should act. But try as I might, that dream of becoming better kept eluding me. And still often does keep eluding me, incidentally. And when I think of God's plan for my life, I immediately start thinking of what I should do. Isn't that human nature? I want to be doing something. That's the reason why if I'm stuck in traffic, I will get out of that traffic and drive the long way around and get home 15 minutes later than I would have if I'd stayed in that traffic, just because I'm in control. At least I think I am. I'm driving now. I'm not stuck behind the people in front of me. Isn't that human nature? I want to have a plan. I want to have a goal. And if I'm stuck in traffic, I don't know what that plan is. So I change it. Whenever I do anything, we get to Oklahoma, and everybody wants to know, well, where are we going to go eat tonight? Where are you going to stay? Whose house are we going to go to? Who's going to watch the baby? Who's not going to watch the baby? We are. We've got all these answers that we're going through, right? Everybody wants to know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? When's the time? When's going to happen? And I'm going, wait a minute, slow down. I just got here. I haven't been in Oklahoma for months. I just want to enjoy you guys. But that's human nature. We want to plan. We want to know where we're going and what's going to happen to you. But God is more concerned with you and who you are than who or what you do or where you are. Remember that. God's will just begins with me. God cares about me, but his major focus isn't where I am right now, where I work. It's in the becoming. Who am I becoming? Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 that Gavin read earlier, I'll reread it again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do we want to know? You want to know what God's will is? He tells us right here, God's will for our life is that we take this everyday life, the life that I go to work and I stay at home and I come to church and I do all that stuff. I take this everyday life and I place it on the altar before God as a sacrifice. That's what God wants. He doesn't want me to necessarily be doing anything. He just wants me to give everything to Him. That's why no matter where we go, we want to become the kind of person that gets up every day and just says, what do you want me to do today with my life? That way, no matter where we go or what we do, we live our lives as the right kind of people in every place. If I am the right kind of person, it doesn't matter if I'm in poor or rich. It doesn't matter if I'm in a country where it's free to worship or if I'm in a country where I'm being tortured. It doesn't matter because I'm right where I'm supposed to be. You say, yeah, but it's worse over there. Not for the Christian. I'll argue with you. And you'll say, yeah, but it is because they're dying and it's a lot harder for them. And I'm saying, no, it's worse for us because I've got the ease and I'm not focusing on how I should be where they have to focus on what they should be. Maybe if we've got it all turned around backwards. If we are doing God's will, then we are in the right place all the time. Does that make sense? It's really not complicated, it's just not easy. That's the deal. We often thank God for being able to come here freely. But I want to be that kind of person that it doesn't matter what circumstances I'm under. God is much more interested in who we are than what we do or where we are. God wants to create in us a new creature. The second point, our role is not to find God's will. Our role is not to find God's will, but to follow God's voice. I spend a lot of time trying to find God's will. What do you want me to do today, God? What do you want me to do tomorrow, God? How do you want me to be, God? Should I marry this person, God? Should I do this job, God? Should I go to that place, God? What should I do, God? And I'm constantly trying to find what God's will is. But listen to this. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, God called some of his apostles and he says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. We have four people here, right? Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Four people, and they had no clue. I want you to think about this. They had no clue where they were going. Jesus didn't come out and say, okay, come with me and we're going to go to Galilee and we're going to start, you know, teaching all these, doing all this kind of stuff. No. He said, do what? Get in line. Follow me. I hate following people, especially in cars. I'd much rather lead, or better yet, walk side by side. You know, I don't like that. I don't like to follow. But if I do follow somebody, I want to know where I'm going. It's just my nature. And what did Jesus ask them to do? Get in line and follow me. He didn't tell them what he was going to do or where he was going. He didn't tell them where he was going to eat, how they're going to live. He didn't say, they didn't ask even, oh, can I go tell my family? You know, well, two of them, James and John, already were with the Father. But he didn't say anything about where they were. They didn't say, well, can I go do this? Can I go do that? No, they got in line. And they followed Jesus. They weren't Old Testament scholars. They were ordinary fishermen. And he was asking them to leave everything that they did and get in line. What's important for us is to follow God's voice. I watched a video. I saw it here once a long time ago, I think, but the last time I saw it was in Fillmore. And they were out preaching, they were doing this thing where they're walking through the Bible lands, and they're coming across, and they go, okay, they're talking about the sheep and where the sheep ate, because, you know, there's not like a lot of grass over there. And so how do they eat? And they're talking about all this stuff. And they say, oh, there's some shepherds over there. And they pan their camera over and they do it. And they say, wait, listen. You can hear them singing. And they did. They turned up the volume or whatever they did, and you could hear them over there. And they're singing thing they're doing. And the sheep were following. And they said, why are they singing? It's because the sheep know their voice. They sing so that the sheep know where to go and how to follow. How do we know God's voice? How do we know how to follow, though, if we don't know God's voice? If you never stop to listen, how do you know? Think about it. Several of us have kids in here, and I've obviously got kids. And whenever my kids were small, we'd go to a get together or whatever, and one of the kids would say, you know, one of the kids would call out, Dad, I don't care who I'm talking to, I don't care how much noise is around there, what do I hear? I hear my son calling my name. Why? Because I was listening for him. I'm always listening for him. I want to know if he calls me, I want to go. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go to sleep and my mom could come in and I slept like a rock. I slept out. And my mom and dad went and had a fourth child who was 8 years younger than me. And after about, I don't know how long it was, I was pretty small. I was, you know, 8 or 9. By now I'd be at 9, 8. And they decided that he needed to sleep in our room with us, so that they could get their good sleep and my dad could go to work and I don't know. So my job was to get up with Paul during the night and take him to the restroom. Okay? So if he got up during the night, it was my job because my parents couldn't hear him. We were two doors down. And so I was asleep and I was out. And you could come in there and you could change your clothes. You could do anything. You could turn on the light. I was out. I slept. Paul would roll over and go, eh. And I'd go, wide awake. I'd get up and go take him to the bathroom. Why? Because I was listening for his voice. And even above that, I knew his voice rather than all the other noises. I could filter it out just to him. We need to be a people that have learned to listen for God's voice. The key is that the shepherds know the voice of the sheep know the voice of the shepherds, and we need to know the voice of our Father. Now I've just got to figure out where in the world am I? Okay, I got it out of order. Okay, I just did number 3, so we're going to do number 2. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened here, but my life is like that. The second thing is God longs for us to desire him more than his answers for our life. God longs for us to desire Him more than His answers for our life. Too often I look to God's answers for my life. Not that it's wrong, okay? Not in and of itself. It's what I seek. I treat God, this is the problem. I treat God like my own personal GPS system. I get in my car and I need to know where to go. What do I say? I say, what do they say? Hey Siri or something like that? Okay, Google, whatever. And you answer, you say, how do I get to the mall? How do I get to this house? I ask it, and it draws me a little diagram if I have a GPS system in my car, and it'll draw it, and it'll tell it, and it'll say, take the next right, okay? And everybody knows, everybody's heard this and seen it, right? And it tells me how to go, and sometimes it's not right, but I treat God that way. God, how do I get to there? Please show me. And I treat God like my personal GPS system. God's going to take me down this road, then He's going to turn me down this way, and then I'm going to learn that thing, and I'm going to end up where I want to go. Or I treat God as like a Google search. You ever done Google search? How many have? Forget it. If you have a computer, you know Google search, and you go into there and you'll search, or maybe you have another one that you go to, but you do a search and you say, I want to know about something. What does this word mean? What does that mean? How do I get out of depression? How do I fall in love? How do I find a job? What do I do for a resume? What do I do for, you know, for finances? What do I do? And I put it in there and it gives me all these options. And that's how I treat God sometimes. I treat God, God, how do I do this? How do I get out of this? Where do I go? And now I want God to give me options. Okay, well, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, and I can get out of it, right? Okay, so I have a problem. There's a problem at work. Everything's going, it's struggling, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm just worn out, and I don't know what to do. And God, how do I get out of this? My little phone, my personal assistant, God, how do I get out of this? I treat God like Google search. I treat God like Santa Claus. Have you ever done that? God, please give me this. God, please give me that. God, please take this away. I want God to give me everything. I treat God like Santa Claus. I treat God like, or maybe I treat God like a lifeguard. Oh, I'm drowning. Hey, come save me over here, God. I treat God in a lot of different ways, but that's not what God wants. God doesn't want me to treat Him like Santa Claus or a GPS system or Google search or like a lifeguard. He doesn't want us to treat Him like anything. What He wants is us to desire Him, to love Him, to want Him, to need Him. David says in Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." Oh, I don't want anything from you, God, if you will just let me come in and live in your temple. Just be with you. That's more than enough for my life. Have you done that recently? Have you just desired to be with God? I don't want anything from you, God. I don't need anything from you, God. I don't desire anything from you, God. Just let me be with you just for a few minutes. I know, Jim, you've been talking about getting up in the morning and the first thing you do is read your Bible. First thing in your morning is just let me be with God just for a few minutes before all the noise comes along. Just let me read a little bit of your word. In Psalm chapter 32, verse 8, it says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." God is watching over us. God wants us to desire Him. How often have you come to God not wanting anything? Not out of necessity or direction, just because you want to be with God, just to stand in His presence, just to get to know God better, putting aside all my needs and my desires, just for a minute. Can you do it just for a minute? Put it away and just be with God and bask in His glory. I've been guilty of driving home from work so intent on traffic that I missed the sunset. Have you ever done that? This beautiful display of colors and everything like that, and I get home and Cindy says, did you see that wonderful sunset? I was driving right at it the whole time and I didn't even bother to notice. How do you do that? How do we not bask in God's glory? God so longs for us to desire Him more than the answers for our life. So, I'll close it up. Three things. God's will is more about who we are than it is about what we do or where we are. Focus on giving God your life. Stop focusing on your actions. Focus instead on your being Christ-like, on who you are. The fruit grows, remember, fruit grows from a healthy tree, not the other way around. Second thing, God longs for us to desire Him more than His answers for our life. Quit using God like your personal helper, assistant. Learn to stop, to breathe. Get to know God. And then you will know His good and perfect will for you. And finally, our role is not to find God's will, but to follow God's voice. Listen for God's word. It probably won't be a loud yell. He's not going to sit there and say, hey, Eddie, I need you to go over there and talk to that person. He doesn't work like that. It's going to be a small voice in my ear that if I'm listening for it and I follow, I'll find myself sitting next to that person because that's what God wants me to do. Not because it's what Eddie wants to do, but that's what God wants to do. It's going to come often in a still small voice, a small whisper. But you'll be able to hear His voice. Why? Because you'll know it. If you know it. Thank you for listening today. I don't know if this has helped you at all, but for God's will for us, it's a huge deal for me. And maybe sometimes whenever I come and I preach like this, I'm not doing it for you, to be honest. In the end, I'm really doing it for me because I need to hear it. And if you heard something today that helps you or something today you want to talk about or something today that you need, there's always me, there's always the elders, there's always somebody that you're free to come talk to and I'd be glad to point you out. Or if you want to hear, you know, if you want to find out where that sermon is online so you can listen to the real thing, I'd be glad to tell you about that. But thank you for being here while we stand and sing the song.